Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News. It's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. And filling in for Laura for these past several weeks, and one more time, is Kimberly Alacqua. It's always good to see you. Good morning. Good
morning, Ted. Nice to see you.
So Laura will be back soon. She's been off doing some other things here for these last few weeks. And we have a return guest and a first-time guest today.
Yes, we do. Today we have Wendy Disbro, who is our Vice President of our Physician Network for Finger Lakes Health. And we also have Dr. Christine Yu. She is with Finger Lakes Gastroenterology with Dr. Henry LeGuider and Dr. Angel Diaz. And she is the region's only female gastroenterologist. Dr. Yu is board certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Integrative Holistic Medicine. Prior to joining Finger Lakes Health, she completed a fellowship in gastroenterology at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso, Texas, and served as a hospitalist in medicine at the Hospital for Special Surgery, New York, New York. She completed her medical studies at Ross University School of Medicine, Portsmouth, Dominica, in the West Indies. And Dr. Yu, as well as Dr. LeGuider and Dr. Diaz, all perform their procedures exclusively at Geneva General Hospital, Finger Lakes Surgery Center, and Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital.
All right. And this month, March, is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. So that's what we're going to talk about. I want to just start with you, Wendy, a little bit, and just remind us a little bit about what FLH Medical PC is and this network of physicians within the Finger Lakes Health umbrella.
The FLH Medical PC system is our physician network for our primary care physicians, spanning from four counties, actually. We're Wayne, Seneca, Ontario, and Yates, and we have primary care practices as well as specialists with orthopedics, gastroenterology, general surgery, cardiology. So really a nice base for Finger Lakes Health to have physicians out in our communities caring for our patients.
And that's still, kind of a relatively new idea, that emphasis on primary care and the family doctor in kind of a hospital network, because I think people started to realize, gee, if we do better care up front, then we don't have such busy emergency rooms and full hospitals.
You're exactly right. The premise now is the primary care is the sort of the hub of medical care for patients, and trying to deliver their care starting there with preventative services to keep them from being sick and needing the hospital services, which leads directly into the colorectal screening and preventative medicine for colonoscopies. So very apropos for us to be out there with the patients sort of on the front line.
And Dr. Christine Yu, welcome to you. It's good to have you here for the first time.
Hi, good morning. Nice to meet you.
So one of the things when Kim was introducing you is that you had some holistic training. How does that typically have those two disciplines, traditional Western medicine and holistic care, kind of been at odds? Are those two disciplines more kind of coming together now?
Well, it's a little bit so. It's more so in the recent years, just because I actually was trained in Western medicine, but I decided to do some more training or to be certified in holistic and integrated medicine, just because I would like to treat the whole patient and just get more ideas of how to treat them with not just Western medicines, but just to add to my practice is the reason why I did that.
So what does that training bring to your practice when you see a patient? What extra insight does that give you in providing care?
Well, it's especially important because a lot of patients are now doing naturopathic medicines or holistic medicines on their own, and just to be able to advise them on what's good, where is their evidence-based medicine for these naturopathic or holistic treatments or modalities. And so at least I'm knowledgeable in trying to advise my patients in the correct path, or like at least to make better decisions about the care that they want.
So this month is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Let's
yes.
start with, I know old guys
it's
like
exciting.
Me are at risk. So who else? What do we know about what causes it and who's at risk for colorectal cancer?
So anybody at the age of 50 needs to have a colonoscopy or some kind of screening for colorectal cancer. And that's because age is the biggest risk factor for colorectal cancer and rectal cancers. So... And it affects women and men alike and all ethnicities and backgrounds. So everybody at the age of 50 should get one. The other risk factors that include anybody with family history of colorectal cancer or advanced adenomas, which are advanced polyps, which they become cancer in the future if you leave them over time to progress. And also African Americans are at higher risk, so they actually start screening at 45 years old. The other risk factors that are shown to be associated with more polyps or colorectal cancer include obesity, sedentary lifestyle, poor diet, meaning a diet in high in more red meat and processed meats, things, smoking and alcohol as well.
Now, I've had the, and I'm forgetting the exact name of it, but the test, the fecal test with the little strip.
Okay.
Is that sufficient, or do you recommend that somebody should definitely get a colonoscopy after 50?
Well, I recommend everyone should get a colonoscopy, and that's because that's the gold standard. Because with the colonoscopy, you can detect cancer and polyps. You can also treat them, so you can remove them, and that's what's most important. There are other screening modalities that are, you know, that are approved in the guidelines, which include, like, the one that you're mentioning is probably the fecal immunochemical testing, which is the FIT testing.
Right.
And that detects blood in your feces, pretty much, and then it actually tells you, but that's a colon cancer detection, not a colon prevention. So there's an actual distinction between the two. There's also a fecal DNA testing, which is like a combination of the FIT plus DNA, depending on which one you actually get, and that actually detects DNA abnormalities in the stool that could either be polyps or cancer. Again, that's also a cancer detection, not a prevention. The preventative screening modalities is the colonoscopy, which is the gold standard, and that's every 10 years. Then there's also, if you really don't want to do that, there is the flexible sigmoidoscopy, which is a shorter version of the colonoscopy. For example, the colonoscopy is a longer tube, and it evaluates your whole colon. The flexible sigmoidoscopy only evaluates pretty much the left side, the lower third of the colon and the rectum. So that's recommended every 5 years. The other one is a CT modality where you do a CT colonography, which is a CT evaluation. But again, that's every 5 years as well. But those two things are limited. You know, they're limited. And you're like for the flexible sigmoidoscopy, you're missing the right half of the colon. And then for the CT colonography, you can't treat anything or remove anything because it's a CT.
For the colonoscopy especially, and I think the sigmoidoscopy to a lesser degree, I think what prevents a lot of people from doing that is the fear of the... Right. Has that changed any, or is it still just basically going to be uncomfortable and you better deal with it?
Nobody loves the prep. I'm going to be honest, okay? The thing is, the prep has kind of evolved. So it's not... Before, it used to be the whole 1 gallon. So now there's less liquid involved, less prep involved. You do still have to drink a lot of fluids to kind of equal that out and to wash out your system, but it's less fluid, so it's more tolerable. That's what patients in general say. And there's a couple of variations to it, and we work with the patients, try to get them the optimal prep for them. The thing is, now with the colonoscopy, I know that's what everyone doesn't want to take the prep. Most patients, and they're being honest, they can't stand the prep, and it's uncomfortable. But also, even if you choose a CT colonography, you still have to prep before that. You know, the flexible sigmoidoscopy, you still have to prep. Maybe, depending on some institutions, not as much, but you still do have to prep because you have to be able to see clearly.
You talked earlier about discovering polyps. What? Mm-hmm. Explain more about what those are, and do those become cancerous always or most of the time, or what does that tell you when you find those?
So polyps are abnormal, like abnormal tissue growth in the colon or wherever. There's polyps, they could be found anywhere. But speaking of colon, you know, colon polyps, they're abnormal tissue growths that actually can become cancer over time. And that's why a colonoscopy or colon cancer screening is so important, and so it's such a great invention because of the fact that you can actually prevent these polyps from becoming cancer. And the way we do that is by removing them. When they're simple little polyps, they're benign, although they're precancerous lesions for the most part. They do progress in general, usually slowly over time, but at the same time, it's best to get it out when they're smallest, and you don't have to worry about them. You just have to worry about when your next screening is.
Now, if colon cancer is found, what is the usual treatment?
So if colon cancer is found, so with the advent of a colonoscopy or colon cancer screening, especially colonoscopy, it's actually prevented late stage cancers from being discovered. So we either get them before they're even thinking about becoming cancer, or we actually get them when they're very early. So the treatment is so much, you have so many more options for treatment. It's so treatable. You know, colon cancer in general, it involves anything from surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, depending on at what stage we find the colon cancer. But because of the colonoscopies, we actually find them very early, and a lot of times just surgical resection of that part of the colon, or even just a colonoscopy, we can remove the cancer depending on the size of it. This has changed like the way patients' lives are, and it just made their lives much better.
And that's what I was going to go into next, is if they are found to be cancerous and are treated, do you generally regain full ability to eat and everything, or
yes,
do you have to modify the way that you live? Or
no, usually for simple colon cancers, if it's just a partial resection of the colon, part of the colon is removed right where that polyp, where the cancer is, is actually a normal lifestyle. You usually don't have a bag, because that's another thing that patients worry about, for the most part. And your lifestyle is pretty much, your quality of life is great.
You know, what necessitates the bag? Is that if it's just the cancer is so advanced and you have to do...
It could be a couple of things. It could just be the integrity of your colon. It could be if the colon is advanced or not, depending on location of the colon cancer. That's what... it depends on those certain factors as to whether you get a bag or not. Sometimes you do have a bag, which is a colostomy or an ileostomy, and then it could be reversed. It's just temporary. So it really depends on the actual location and the other factors that I mentioned.
Let's go back to the beginning where we talked about prevention and run down the lifestyle tips and the other tips that you have so that we don't get polyps or cancer in the first place, hopefully.
So the things that I've shown to benefit, prevent, like, risk, so you're trying to modify risk factors. You can't modify your age, although we would all wish to be able to do that, but diet. So if you increase, fruits and vegetables, it's pretty much healthy living that we all understand. It's those things that's actually shown to be, is better, you're better having a healthier diet. You know, to abstain from smoking and alcohol use, because that, you do that, then you can decrease the likelihood of polyps. Also, you cannot change your family history, unfortunately, but fortunately for some, you know. So that's not really something that we can modify, but obesity, sedentary lifestyle is something we could definitely modify. Lose a couple of pounds, even a couple of pounds will help you. Get into daily activity, daily exercises is very important for overall general health, but also to prevent, not to prevent, but to decrease the likelihood of you having polyps or cancer in the colon cancer in the future.
I was going to say, that's one of the bonuses is better diet, more exercise. Mm-hmm. That comes up with almost everybody that we have on this program. When we're talking colon health, heart health.
Exactly. It's a common theme here. Yeah.
It's like the message is going to get through here eventually. Eat better, exercise better, and you'll
Correct.
Have a better life.
But it's very important to get screened because, like, for example, I have a very large family. The statistics show that it's 1 in every 20 people will have colon cancer in their lifetime, colon cancer or rectal cancer in their lifetime. That's, if I think about that on a personal basis, that's, I look at my family, one of us is going to have colon cancer. And if that's preventable, over 90%, if you do the appropriate screening at the appropriate intervals, over 90% of colon cancer deaths could be prevented. If I could do that for one of my family members or myself, why wouldn't I do that?
Absolutely.
You know, so that's really important in the message we would like to get across, especially this month.
All right. Dr. Yu, thank you. We appreciate you bringing that message to us today.
Thank you very much for having
Wendy,
us.
Wendy, thank you for being with us once again.
Thank you.
And Kimberly, thank you for pinch hitting in for Laura. I know it's not your favorite thing to do.
I think I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with it.
You're fine. You're fine.
But can I just add real quick?
Sure.
That Dr. Christine Yu, as well as Dr. LeGuider and Dr. Diaz, are all accepting new patients. And you can schedule an appointment by calling 315-787-5310.
All right, terrific. Thank you all for being with us. We appreciate it, and we appreciate the opportunity to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. 852 on the Finger Lakes Morning News.
This is Science Today.